Okay. So after we've covered the our discussion about Yarei Vayavor for the Averos Hamuros, all various discussions related to that. So before going on to the other forms of Yarei Vayavor for Hesi and Shas Hashmad, it was appropriate, even though it's a little out of order in terms of the Gemara's presentation, to discuss Abizrayim, right? Because Abizrayim is really at the end of the Gimel Hamuros, and the question is basically whether, as we'll see, whether we extend the Yarei Vayavor of the Gimel Averos Hamuros to the cases of Abizrayim, which we will define soon enough. But before we get there, let's see just the Ikar Gemara in our parak dealing with that issue. That's the Gemara Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Aram. Read? Okay, please.
Starting to work.
Second line down. Amar Yud Amar Rav.
Amar Yud Amar Rav. Ma'aseh v'adam echad nasan inav yisha achas v'ala libatina. V'ala sholer l'rofim. He asked doctors. Amar...
Because he was lovesick?
Yeah, ain't not tzakana. Ad divol. Amar echad l'amim yamas v'al divol. No, you have to die instead of having beer. Tamar l'fanav aruma. At least stand in front of her aruma and then maybe you'll be healed. Yamas al tabo, no, you still have to die. Valtamad Mofanav Aruma. Don't stand in front of her aruma. Tis bring me my feria gather, maybe that at least talk to her through a fence. Yamas the lotus bring my feria gather. And still don't talk to her through a fence.
They answered all three cases.
Right.
Bia, right, Amit Lafanav Aruma and Dibor Meachore Hagather. So we have to analyze, the Gemara is going to analyze that. What exactly is the issue at hand?
Continue?
Yep.
Tligi bar Rav Yaakov bar Idi bar Shmuel bar Nechmeni Chanamar Ish Ish Haisa Chanamar Pruya Haisa Dish Lom Laman Damar Ish Haisa Shaper. Then it would make sense. Ish Ish Ish.
So this is very important to note. The Gemara sounds like, you know, everything is fine and well if it's an Ish Ish Ish. Okay, so let's say Bishlama on the Bishlama, meaning Bishlama, the first case of Tibal. Okay, that's one of the Averos Chamuros. But what the Gemara thinks is Pashit, thinks is Shapir, includes the other two Psakim, the extensions to Amida Lefan of Aruma, and the Mesaper Amechare Hageder. So we have to understand what exactly. So again, even what the Gemara thinks is Pashit, is already you have an extension of Yehar Le'avor, of the related Averos Chamuros, again, beyond the technical, you know, violation of, let's say, Gila Rams. So even within the Manda Amr, Ish is Ish, it's important to note that the extension to the cases of Amida, Lufana Baruma, and Misaper Me'achari together, again, are extensions. The Gemara, again, takes for granted what the mechanism at work is, but, right, he's not surprised by it, but again, doesn't explicate what exactly is going on. The Gemara is bothered by the other Manda Amr.
El Amand Amar Pnui Haisa Maikliyai. What's the whole big deal? A Pop Amar Mishum Pegamishbacha. Rachab Reid Rabbi Ika Amar Kadeshaliyah Benos Yisrael Prutos Barayis.
It's the Gemara again here mentions these two factors of Pegamishbacha and this idea of Prutos Barayis. Again, giving a reason why it's problematic, but not giving us the, like, not really justifying the application of Yehar Le'Avor again. So, meaning, what seems to be consistent throughout the sugya is that the Gemara seems not to be focusing on, let's call it, the mechanism of Yehar Le'Avor, like, let's say, the justification of applying Yehar Le'Avor, as much as it's just focusing on, like, what exactly is the problem? So, when it comes to Ish Ish Ish, I understand why all these cases are problematic. What the mechanism is, that's not what we're dealing with, either because the Gemara thinks it's Pashut, or that's just not on the radar screen, unclear exactly what. Again, but the Gemara, what the Gemara is dealing with, what is, I mean, why don't we just go ahead with it? What's the problem? So by Ish Ish Ish, there's a problem in all three cases, because all these are clearly inappropriate and not worth, you know, allowing for anything, seems it's a married woman. Oh, when it comes to Penuya, what's the big deal? Answer is no, it is a big deal, these factors of Pegam Mishpacha, according to one day, and Prutos Barayos, are according to the second day. But again, like in all the cases, the Gemara has justified in all the cases, why it's problematic, but again, never justified why that problem now necessitates a Yehareg Vayavar. So we're going to have to see in the Rishonim what exactly is the justification. We'll stop there. Again, my Benuvim, that's the reason why I can't do that. So again, in terms of like this issue of Israel, if you're looking to look at the Gemaras to see whether you have an extension, you know, of the Har Vayavar for the Averus Chamurus, past the technical violations of the Averus Chamurus themselves. So again, this seems to be a good place to start. Again, it's not clear what the basis is, but again, there's some indication in the Gemara that there is an extension of a Har Vayavar past the Averus Chamurus themselves. We still don't know exactly whether that's Midin, the Har Vayavar of the Averus Chamurus, extended through this Din of Av Yisrael, or because something else. But again, something fishy is going on here, which has to be understood. And the other Gemara, where again there seems to be an extension of Yehar Vayavar past the Averos Hamuros themselves, is which Gemara? Psachim Daf Chavtet. So again, right with the Gemara, we've read this inside, basically applies Yehar Vayavar to the case of Kol Misrapim, Chutz Me'atzei Hashem. You have to see the Rishonim in terms of, at first glance, it doesn't sound like the case of Atzei Asherah is one of an actual being Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Again, we're going to say it's not so clear in the Rishonim. Again, here you have two Gemaras, which at first glance seem to be extensions of Yehar Vayavar in the realm of the Averus Chamuros past the technical violations of the Averus Chamuros. So now we're going to have to look at the Rishonim in terms of whether basically they view these Gemaras as rios to this notion of Av Yisrael, or we're going to see other Rishonim, other Mepharshim, who reject the notion of Av Yisrael, and therefore have to basically offer alternative explanations for these Gemaras. But again, the foundation of this sugya are these two Gemaras, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Hey, and the Gemara in Psachim Chaf Hey. So let's now develop both shitos in the sugya in terms of, again, whether there is this notion that there is this klal of Av Yisrael. The first mahalach in the sugya, which is the way they call it, normative, it seems to be the normative shita, and then we'll see whether this is actually paskin. But you ask people off the street, but yeah, Av Yisrael, of course Av Yisrael. But the first mahalach in the Mefarshim, the first group of Rishonim, think that there is a notion of Av Yisrael. That the din of Yehar Le'Yavor of the Averus Chamurus extends beyond the Averus Chamurus themselves to include the Av Yisrael. But the question we're going to see is that, but within this first camp of Rishonim who hold of this notion of Yisrael, there seems to be different versions of what exactly Av Yisrael is. We're going to see, this is the first that we saw this morning, that there seems to be three different versions of what exactly is the Geder of Av Yisrael. And we're going to see that each version of Av Yisrael will have a different lundus in terms of explaining why in the world we would extend the Har Le'Yavor to these cases of Yisrael. First, we have to define exactly what the Av Yisrael are. So the first type of Av Yisrael is the form of Maris Ayin. Again, not the technical violation of the Avera Chamura, but a case where it appears as if the person is violating the Avera Chamura, and according to the following, we'll see the following Mefarshim, they're going to apply the Yehar Vayavar in such a case, again, where there's no technical violation of the Averus Chamurus, but there is a perception that these Averus are being violated. So the first example of this version, this form of Av Yisrael, is, which we saw in the past, Rashi in Psachim. Right? How does Rashi in Psachim explain the case of Atzei Asher? Why has he justified the application of Yehar Vayavar?
It's Nirakim.
Exactly. It's Nirakim Moldeba. So again, as we pointed out, in past Shiurim, there are two ways to learn this Rashi, and again, only according to one way will he, even hold the notion about Yisrael, which is what we're through. Right? There are two ways to learn Rashi. As we pointed out before, and Rashi, again, is in the context of Avodah Zarah, right? Nira Kemodeba, in the context of Atzei Avodah Zarah. So one way to interpret Rashi, to say that Rashi does not hold about Yisrael, is that Rashi is limited to his context of Avodah Zarah. As pointed out in Peshirim, since the makor for the Har Vayavar of Avodah Zarah is the notion of Avas Hashem, right? So as we saw many makoros, right, Radvaz, the Ritzvah, a lot of makoros who specifically expand the gather of Avodah Zarah for the purposes of Yehar Vayavar based on the notion that the mechayev of Yehar Vayavar for Avodah Zarah is Avas Hashem. As we pointed out in Peshirim, it's possible to interpret this Rashi as basically just belonging to that group of Mefarshim. So that the reason why Nira Kemodeba is subject to Har Vayavar is because it's a specific din in Avodah Zarah. That Avodah Zarah, because its Mechayev is Avas Hashem, so therefore you're going to have an extension of the Har Vayavar to even cases of Nira So you're hurt by avodah zarah to even cases of nira kavodah zarah. But you wouldn't necessarily know, according to this interpretation, that Rashi would apply the general din of avodah zarah to all averos chamuros. And therefore, for the averos chamuros,
you cannot, like, just talking in one thing until the other places.
No, for sure. I'm just saying you don't know necessarily from Rashi.
From here,
exactly, from here. That's all. From this Rashi alone, you don't know that it extends beyond avodah zarah. And we're going to see. I say Tosos, who comments on this case of avodah zarah, his explanation basically seemingly has to extend. But Rashi, because he's focused on nirah kimol diba, you can offer a svara based on avas Hashem that would be limited to avodah zarah. So that's the first right way of interpreting Rashi, which basically say that he doesn't necessarily hold of this notion of avodah zarah. But the other, so I'll say like more the classical way of understanding Rashi, is that no, this is Rashi's version of avodah zarah. Rashi interprets the notion of avodah zarah as this idea of maaser zarah. And therefore, Rashi is just saying, again, as you're saying,
well, it's not it's completely maaser zarah. Like maaser zarah, we said, is only 10 Jews, no?
No, that's Chil Hashem. So here, there would be saying maaser zarah, even Bitsina. That's according to this approach. What? Even Chadre Chadar, exactly. Yeah, the Maaser Zarah is not necessarily subject to the requirement of 10, like the Eichel Hashem. It's a different get there. Right, so in the second interpretation of Rashi, that Rashi is basically introducing this notion of avodah zarah, and basically is interpreting the Gemara in Psachim as this notion of this idea of avodah zarah, to tell you that all three of Averos Chamuros are even extended to cases of Maaser Zarah, where there's not an actual violation of the Avera Chamura, but as long as there's a perception of the violation, that is going to trigger the din of Ahari Bahiyabar. So again, according to the second interpretation of Rashi, Rashi is this first example of this notion of Avodah Zarah in the variety of Maaser Zarah. And then the second makor for this version of Maaser Zarah of Avodah Zarah is what Aaron showed me, is this Pnei Yehoshua in the Ksubas on the Gimel on the base. Again, in the context of the whole discussion there and commenting on Tosas, but the thing I want to focus on is that it's clear the way that Pnei Yehoshua is basically dealing with the case is basically why would the Harid by Yabor of Avodah Zarah apply in a case of Hishtachaviyah where there was just an act of bowing down without any where the person didn't have any Kabbalah Salokos in mind and he didn't say anything which implied that it was Kabbalah Salakos. So basically, why is the Harid Vayavar in such a case where it's clear that there is no vestige of actual Avodah Zarah there? So the way that Pnei Yehoshua justifies the Harid Vayavar is by saying that because it appears there's a Shemetz of Avodah Zarah to others, if anybody has the Lashon, his line is, Kevim d'shayach be'niyah chashash Shemetz of Avodah Zarah laharoim, says lo gara, basically to the idea of Israel, which he says is explicit in Aydal and Piz. That's not really so true, but he's basically referencing this notion of Abizrael, and based on the Pnei Yehoshua, it's clear, understands this notion of Abizrael, the extension of Yehar Vayavar past the Veros Lamuros, to Abizrael as being a case where there's Maaser Zarah of the violation of the Big Three. So before I take any questions, the Lamdus, again, as we mentioned in Pashirim, of this version of Abizrael, seems to understand basically the Mechayev of Yehar Vayavar for the Averos Chamuros as being Midin Chil Hashem. And again, if you think that the Mechayev of Yehar Vayavar for the Averos Chamuros is Chil Hashem, so it makes a lot of sense to extend that Mechayev to a case of Maaser Zarah, because basically, as long as there's a perception that the Averos Chamuros are being violated, that's going to trigger the same Chil Hashem as an actual violation of the Avera itself. Because again, remember, according to the Chil Hashem approach, there might not even be a violation. Even in the case where the person is actually doing the Maaser Avodah Zarah, could be that V'chai Behem came along and neutralized the actual Isser Avodah Zarah, and yet, and therefore, the only problem is the perception of violation. So therefore, mali a perception of a violation of the actual act, which has lost the Avera, than a case where people think you're violating the act even though you're not even actually doing that Maaser. Basically, as long as the Mechayev is Chil Hashem, therefore this extension to Maaser Zarah makes a lot of sense.
I wasn't sure in Pnei Yehoshua how prominent Maaser Zarah was. I mean, was it just part of like a culture came over here where there isn't even any Maaser Zarah Mikra Lakol? Because he also had the idea of seeing people in Matav Maaser Shiva Leiv, which I thought might actually lead to the actual definition of Maaser.
Correct. but the where he actually invokes Abizrayu is specifically in this context. So I thought maybe that other case maybe is actual Avodah Zarah, where he's coming onto the Abizrayu is specifically this extension to the outsiders. That's what I thought. But yeah, I hear. I'm not sure.
And is Tosas and Ksuvos talking about real Yahavar?
Oh. You see when he says Kiddush Hashem?
Yeah.
Unclear. I'm not 100% sure. You think because you're saying whether it's like Amidas Chasidus?
Right, because if Tosas is talking about Amidas Chasidus, then the Bnei Yehoshua's whole discussion is within something else entirely.
Yeah, but he invokes Abizrael. It sounds like the Bnei Yehoshua understands it as being a real din of the Yahavar Yahavar. I think the whole Pnei Yehoshua's discussion implies. The implication of his discussion is a real thing.
It's not clear. Because in the first part he says it's just for the Melech. And if it's just for the Melech...
No, but the question is, if it's just for the Melech, then what's the status of the Chil Hashem in that case? So it could be that, no, if it's all based on the perception, then it could be you have the Chil Hashem aspect. So I interpreted the Pnei Yehoshua, and I guess Aaron also, that it's a real case of Yehoshua Le'Avar, and I think when he quotes Abizrayu, it sounds like that's what he's dealing with. It's a real bona fide Yehoshua Le'Avar. But I hear the horror. So again, so far we basically saw that the first version of Abizrayu is of the Maris Ayin variety, which works very well with the Chil Hashem. But again, because it's Mechayev, it's Chil Hashem, so as long as there's a Maris Ayin, as long as there's a perception that you're violating the Avera, therefore the Mechayev of Yehoshua Le'Avar is going to apply in the same. So the second version of Abizrayu is the notion of Siyog. Who seems to justify Abizrayu along these lines? Tosos in Pesachim, exactly. Do you have it open? His Lashem, where he basically offers a different explanation, an alternative to Rashi in terms of what exactly is the case of Atzei Ashira, which would justify, you know, this din of Yehoshua Le'Avar. Go for it.
Near the read, the Ma'ariv Kigon She'en Yochol Le'Ezrah Be'Mishar Eitzim El B'Zeh. It has to be Avodah Zarah type of thing. Kona Al Yidei Shem, or Shem Devar Acher.
Whatever that means. whatever the Rofim were suggesting.
Right, which is apparently not Avodah Zarah itself.
Yeah.
And Asi L'Mitzi Basar Avodah Zarah.
Exactly. Somehow it's close enough that you're some type of, you know, chance or, you know, whatever. But it's not exactly what you're saying. It's not actually Avodah Zarah. But the Yehoshua Le'Avar, according to Tosfos, is that if we allow you to do this, then Gzera is going to, you're going to come to violate the actual law of Avodah Zarah. So again, so according to Tosfos, what seems to be going on, again, just pointed out before, while the conduct of the Gemara is clearly Avodah Zarah, but in contrast to Rashi's fact of Nira Kimodiva, which again could have been interpreted as, you know, specifically, you know, related to the Avas Hashem component of Avodah Zarah, right? Tosfos is more of like a generic idea of Siyag.
But you don't have to say they're a Holkin, right?
You don't have to say that they're a Holkin?
Rashi and the Tosfos.
Well, they are Holkin in terms of how they understand the Gemara, and could be, and therefore that has major implications in terms of how they understand Avas Zarah. Right, they definitely explain the case differently.
Yeah.
The only point they have is that the Tosas' explanation as being a siyag, again, would not seem to be limited to Avodah Zarah. Again, once you have a siyag for the Avera Chamura of Avodah Zarah, you would seemingly extend that to, you know, Ritzicha and Arayos as well. So therefore, Tosas, again, while we had two options within Rashi, Tosas seems to, you know, align with the Abizrayu, you know, camp. But again, as a different version of Abizrayu, a case basically the version of siyag, where we extend the Yehoshua Le'Avar in cases where, I mean, if you do X, the violation of X will end up leading to the violation of Y, which is the Avera Chamur. But, or in contrast to Rashi's, you know, let's say the Maris Ayin approach, which seemed to, you know, clearly go within, let's say, the Chil Hashem approach to the Mechayev of Yehoshua Le'Avar for the Avera Chamuros, but then I think Tosfos, it's really not clear. Because once you're saying that, oh, you can't do, you know, case X because up to it's going to come to Y, which is the Avera Chamura, so whether the Mechayev of Y, whether the Mechayev of the, you know, the of Yehoshua Le'Avar for the Avera Chamura itself is Midin Chil Hashem, or is Midin Avera Chamura, or Avas Hashem, whatever it is, it would seem like a Siyag would be equally justifiable in all those cases. That's what I was thinking. Originally I thought it was Avera Chamura, but then I was rethinking and saying, because right, there's a problem in the case where you actually violate the Avera Chamura. So whether that problem is Chil Hashem or Avera Chamura, the end of the day, that is a problem which is going to justify the Rabbi Albert. So the Chiddush of Tosfos and his version of this Raya is that we're going to even extend Ariyar and Mayavar to any case which will lead to that. But whether you're coming to protect, you know, the Chil Hashem, or you're coming to protect Yavir Chamura, in my mind, I'm not sure, I think it would be open to both.
Yeah. So, but we're not saying when the Gemara and Daf Haidel would be is the very place to go in. We're not talking about different types of Israel.
Yeah, I meant to mention that. It's important to know that this term Ab Yisrael is never mentioned by the Gemara in this context that we're discussing, or the extension of the various numerals. The Gemara only mentions, and that's why I quoted the Gemara there, only mentions it as a phrase in the context of Bnei Noach. Again, it's the same idea of, you know, something in Rashi's Lashon of Kol Midi D'Shayach, where you have a lav and like something which is related to the lav. So it's the same like type of usage, but again, the Gemara only, you know, quotes that Lashon in a very different context of Bnei Noach. It's really the Ran who's the first one who, you know, utilizes that term, who carries over that term of Ab Yisrael to this sugya, and that's how everyone, you know, talks about, you know, the sugya, even though it's really the Ran who's the first one to say it. Is that your question? Okay. Fine. Right, so far we saw two versions of Ab Yisrael, again the Maris Ayin variety and the Siyag variety. And we basically analyzed, you know, which type of Mechayv Vayav or the Gimel Chamuros each one is dealing with. Again, for Maris Ayin, it's clearly Chol Hashem. Pointed out for the Siyag, it seems to be open. It doesn't seem like Tosfos is necessarily here taking a stand on that issue. Well, the third, final, and I'll say most famous version of Ab Yisrael is that which is, you know, developed by the Ran, which is what we call, like, you know, satellite lav. Right? You're basically saying that any lav which is within the larger category of the big three is going to be subject to Yihar Vayav. And we'll see.
What? A Toldo?
Yeah, like an Avin Toldo. It's a good mashal. Again, it has different connotations in different contexts, but, you know, as a loose mashal, like a Toldo of the lav. I guess, again, so if you have any lav, which is not the actual lav of Los Adem, of worshipping of Avodah Zarah, but it's something in the realm of Avodah Zarah, and again, it's viewed as like an extension of Avodah Zarah, so that's going to be subject to Ab Yisrael. The same thing by Arayos, something which is considered like a lav within the category of Arayos, again, is going to be subject to Yeharig by Yabur. So again, it's important just to note, you know, the context of the Ran. Again, remember the Ran in first, the two Rans. First Ran is the Ran in Psach. Again, it's Vav Amnalef Bidat Be'arif. Again, that's based, it's the Sugya in Chafei. Right, and the Ran there, the broader discussion, right, he's discussing the major issue, which we've touched upon in the past, we'll get back to in the future, is the application of Anas Atzmo to the Averos Chamuros. So, right, so remember, the Ran here, in Psachim there, right, is justifying the Shita of the Ramban against the Balamur. Again, what's the Shita of Ramban? That the Anas Atzmo does or does not apply to Averos Chamuros. Does the Heter of Hanas Atzmo apply or doesn't apply? Does, exactly. And because, what? But the Ramban, the famous Ramban, Mulchamas, basically, right, says that because the Mechayev of Yehar Layavur, of the Averos Chamuros, is Chumar Sa'isr, and not Chil Hashem, so therefore, it's not subject to the Heter of Hanas Atzmo. So after bringing Rayos and accepting the Ramban's Shita, again, he accepts it also in Sanhedrin, he basically, right, so based on, so within the Mechamas, right, so basically, right, he has to explain how the Mechamas is going to, you know, explain the Gemara 9 Dalam and Beis, because if you remember, the Gemara 9 Dalam and Beis, Rava introduces the Klal of Anas Atzmo in the context of Esther. So the question is, what do you mean? Isn't Esma, while the Gemara only invokes the factor for Hesia, isn't there also a problem of Arayos? Because she was married to Mordechai. And if you accept that assumption, so then the Gemara is a clear Raya, right? That if we're applying Anas Atzmo to Esther, and if you assume that Esther was an Eshes Ish, so then you're basically assuming that the Heter of Anas Atzmo applies to one of the Averos Chamuros, it applies to the Avera of Gilo Arayos. So what does the Ramban say? No, what the Ramban is going to argue, and the Ramban says this himself, is that Esther does not accept that Gemara, those Midrashim, which assume that Esther was married to Mordechai. They say, no, really Esther was a Penuya, and the only Isser at hand was the Isser of a Nachri Abba Abbas Yisrael, which according to the Ramban in his Halamina, is one of the Shara Beros. It's not Gila Raios itself, it's not Ishish, it's one of the Shara Beros. So therefore the fact that the Gemara applies Hanas Atzmo to this Isser, which is one of the Shara Isurim, one of the Shara Beros, that makes sense, because everyone agrees that the Heter of Hanas Atzmo applies to the Shara Beros before Hesio, which whose Mechayev is Chil Hashem. Oh. So far so good. But then the Ran in the next paragraph, after, you know, concluding basically like the Ramban and bringing all these Raios that the heter of Anas Atzma does not apply to Averos Chamuros. Again, we'll get back to all those Rayas when we discuss, you know, the exception of Anas Atzma as its own topic. But then the Ran asks the Kasha. He basically says, what do you mean? There's this notion of Abizrayu. And the notion of Abizrayu dictates that whenever you have a lav, which is within the category of one of the Averos Chamuros, so it's going to be subject to the same dinam as the Averos Chamuros themselves. And therefore, it's going to be subject to the dinam Bihar Vayavor, even Bitsina. And once we think that the Mechayev of Bitsina is the Chamuros HaIsser, you're also not going to apply the Heter of Anas Atzma. So Ran asks, basically on the Ramban, doesn't really give an answer to it, is, but shouldn't the Isser of basically Bias Akum be within the category of Arayos, and therefore it shouldn't be subject to the Heter of Hanas Atzma? That's his Kasha. And I think he leaves it as a Kasha. But it's important that when the Ran justifies, you know, mentions this Yisod of Abizrayu, he basically quotes both Gemaras that we were discussing to prove this notion of Abizrayu. He says, if you look at the Gemara Psachem Daf Chafei, basically says, what's the Isser there of Atzei Asherah? That's an Isser Hana of Avodah Zarah. And that's a lav of Lo Yitpak Piyatcha Me'uma Menacher. Which is a lav of deriving, it's a distinct lav of deriving Hana from an Avodah Zarah. He says, for the fact that the Gemara applies Yehar Vayavur there, that implies that you have this idea of Abizrayu, that Abizrayu with the is Mechayev Yehar Vayavur, even for called satellite lavin, even for like a satellite lav, like Lo Yitpag Biatcha Me'uma Me'anachir, which is again within the category of Avodah Zarah, but even though it's not Avodah Zarah Mamish, it's still subject to Yehar Vayavur. So that's the Raya from Psachim Chafei. And then the Raya from Ayin Hei, from our Gemara in Ayin Hei, he says, the case of Hela Libatina is also an example. I don't think he quotes Lo Sikhev Ulikalos Erva, but presumably he's saying that, again, this is not a Raya's Mamish, but because there's a problem, there's an extension of Arayos Bepashas within the category of a Sikifru Legalos Erva. So therefore, that too is the reason why Yehari Mayavur is applied in the Gemara in Ayin Hei. So again, he says, you see from Ayin Hei, you see from Chaf Hei Yim Sachem, that there's a notion of Abizrayu, and whenever there's a law within the category of the Averos Chamuros, that's going to be subject to Yehareg Vayavur. So therefore, as Akasha is, and in the case of Esther, even if she wasn't married, just the Isser of being Nivellas to an Akum should be within the category of Arayos, and therefore should be subject to Yehareg Vayavur, even Mitzina, based on Chumar Sa'isser, and therefore shouldn't be subject to the Heter of Hanas Atzma. That's the way the Ran leaves off as Akasha. The other Ran, which is important, is...
We had said previously or in the earlier year that said that Avos Hashem can extend the three Averos, and even associations that are not actually Yar Vayavur are still yourself the Yar Vayavur. Now taking this approach of Abizrayu, you don't need to even come on to that of the extension of Avos Hashem, but rather just consider that Abizrayu.
Excellent point. We're gonna see. We'll flip what you just said on its head by saying maybe Hagufa is the explanation of Abizrayu. Because you have to explain what it, you're assuming. Oh, there's an explanation of Abizrayu. So then, once we have that, we're gonna have to get back. What is the explanation of Abizrayu? We're gonna see exactly what you're coming to in the opposite direction. The same idea that perhaps that Hagufa is the explanation of Abizrayu. but excellent, excellent point.
Just to mention, in Sumik for the run, if the Vias Nukri Afkri Lazare did not arise, Bachlal, that's
true. Correct.
Yeah, Rabbeinu Tam. So, again, I mean, it's an open question. Meaning the two deos in the run is basically whether. There's the big issue within the run, we'll see, is where do you draw the line in terms of what is within the category or what is not? So you're giving one explanation, but in his Habim, you know, he clearly understood that, like, his Lashon was that Bias Akum is not a Rayus. Again, it could be that was before he introduced his notion of Abis Rayum, but it's fair, again, to argue, again, to basically, ironically, you know, to defend the Ran from himself and say that, you know, perhaps it's not the strongest kasha in the world, because perhaps, you know, Bias Akum is not even within the extended, you know, realm of category of Arayos. And one way to explain that is through Rabbeinu Tam's, you know, Akre Achman Lazari. Yeah, that's definitely one way to that. That's 100% what I was thinking of as well. But, yeah, and the other Ran is in Arasiga, again, right? On Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, in the Ran in Chidushi Aran, Dimaskal Rabba Amar, again, the similar discussion of, you know, the application, the scope of the Heter of Anas Atzma, where does it apply, where does it not apply? And again, here, the Ran accepts, right, the Ramban's Yisod, that the Mechayev of Hari by Avor for the big three is Chumras HaIsser, and therefore it shouldn't be subject to the Heter of Anas Atzma. And in this discussion, right, when it, actually, ironically, when he's proving that the Heter of Anas Atzma doesn't apply to the big three, he actually says, oh, because once you take my Yisod of Abizrayu, that Abizrayu is an extension of the big three, so then he's going to say you have proofs from basically both cases of Ayin Hei, of Hel Libatina, and Psachim Chafei of Kol Misrapim, where he, again, this is its own assumption, we'll get back to this later, he assumes that both those cases are cases of Hanas Atzma. Again, it's a different seer of Hanas Atzma, right? Classical Hanas Atzma is for the Hana of the Anas. So these are cases where it's for your own Hana. So again, but he assumes that's included within Hanas Atzma, where he says, oh, since, here only explicitly says Hel Libatina, but since Hel Libatina, or Suga Nayin Hei, is clearly an example of Abizrayu, so therefore, which means that Abizrayu is an extension of the big three, and yet, look, you don't see a heter of Hanas Atzma, oh, you see that's another Raya, like the Ramban, that there's no heter of Hanas Atzma for the big three. So again, in this context, he doesn't ask it as a kasha as much as he really uses it as a proof, that once you understand the notion of Abizrayu being an extension of the big three, and yet you see that there's no heter of Hanas Atzma by Abizrayu slash the big three, again, that's another Raya to the Ramban. So again, the Ran here also, you know, explicates this idea of Abizrayu, specifically in the context of Hel Liba Tina. But it's important to note that when he's discussing the sugya, that he thinks that the notion of Abizrayu is only the pshat in the sugya of Hel Liba Tina within the Manda Amar Ishes Ish. Right? He thinks that if you take the Manda, right, according to the Manda Amar of Pnuya, and these factors of Pegam Mishpacha and Prutas Barayas, again, you could have justified that also Midin Abizrayu, theoretically. I don't know. Meaning, you could have, again, it depends how far reaching the gedder of, you know, these categories are. But you could have said Prutin Barayos and Pegam Mishpacha is a little harder. But at least Prutin Barayos, you could have at least justified that Shita as being a larger extension of the category of Arayos. But again, the Ran says, no, the only one, it's not going to go that far, the only one that would be included is, you know, the Ashes Ish, and the extension of Ashes Ish to, you know, Amida Lufana Varuma, and, you know, be Misaper Achore Hagether. Which is important in terms of, you know, even, it just brings up this issue of where do you draw the line. This category is the Ran is saying, is willing to extend it to the Misaper, you know, Tamu Lufana Varuma, and Lufasaper Imo Meachore Hagether, but he's not willing to extend it to, let's say, the case of, you know, Shalo Yubnos Yisrael Pritis Barayas. Again, he doesn't tell you what the mechanism is there. Again, he leaves us hanging, and we'll get back to, like, alternative explanations of this sugya, again, which is important to note. These alternative explanations, we'll see the Rav suggests for the Rambam, is going to be needed even, let's say, for the Ran, in terms of that other day. So it's important to note that even people who accept Abizrayu are not going to explain the whole sugya based on Abizrayu. There's still other deos in the Gemara which have to be explained through alternative, you know, mechanisms, and we'll get back to that. Before analyzing, you know, the Ran's Shita of Abizrayu, and getting back to Avi's point, just note two other assumptions of the Ran in regards to his understanding of Abizrayu. Right, so number one is that, while he doesn't explicate this, I mean, right, when the Ran considers the case in Ayin Hey, right, Tzisaper, you know, Mechorei Geder and Mida, the fun of Aruma, when he considers those cases to be Abizrayu, Lishitaso, which means they're like Lavin, which are within the general category, in this case, of Arayos, so he's assuming that those are Tzisaper, Mechorei Geder and Mida, the fun of Aruma, are Isurim Doraisa, which presumably, again, would only come from Osikivu Legalis Erva. But it's important to know that that is a huge extension of Osikivu Legalis Erva. Just to give some context to that, and there's a whole famous Machokis Ramban, Rambam, about whether, you know, the Isser Negia is subject to the law of Osikivu Legalis Erva. Again, even the Rambam says it's included within that law de Oraisa of Osikivu Legalis Erva. That's the Rambam. The Ramban argues as no, you know, even Chibuk, Vinishuk, are not included in Lo Sikivu L'Galus Erva. Again, he holds that it's also Midrabanan, but it's not Midrashah. So again, within the normative, you know, approaches to Lo Sikivu L'Galus Erva, Yamachokas, Ramban, and Rambam, and again, the person who goes the furthest is the Rambam, who extends it to Chibuk, Vinishuk. But again, if you put enter the Ran into that discussion, the Ran is taking everything, you know, one giant leap through. And again, it's ironic because the Ran is working within the Ramban. Remember, he's trying to justify, you know, the Ramban Shita by Hanas Atzmo. And again, Ramban is the person who limits the Sikvur Ligal's Erva to, you know, to be a Mamish. And yet, the Ran is going even further than the Bar Plukta of the Ramban, you know, the Rambam is saying, even beyond Chibuk Venishuk, it goes even to these other cases of Misapir Mechori Ageder and to Amida Lefanov Aruv. So that's, again, assumption number one, is that in order for the Ran to explain this sugya based on Abizrayu, specifically his version of Abizrayu, he has to make a very big assumption regarding the scope and the geder of Lo Sikivu Legalis Erva. I'll just finish the second assumption. Again, just remember, according to other versions of Abizrayu, you might not have that issue. According to Tosas, this might just be a simple sugya. Once you allow this, you might end up, you know, having bia. And according to Rashi, it might be a problem of, you know, Maris Ayin. So again, according to them, you don't have to come onto a chiddush regarding the geder of Lo Sikivu L'Galus Erva. But specifically the Ran, whose whole, you know, approach to Abizrayu is based on it being, you know, a lav d'oraisa within the general category of the Aviros Chamuros, you have to come on to this assumption. Again, the second assumption, which relates to something we just mentioned before, is that once you assume that, like, these Lavin, right, that Lo Sikivu L'Galus Erva, say, like, sorry, that the Gemara here, the cases here, are Lo Sikivu L'Galus Erva, and that the Hana in the Atzei Asherah is a case of Lo Yitbak B'Yadcha Me'u Me'Meracher, which, again, that seems to be pretty understandable. The second assumption is that these Lavin, again, are within the category of the Avera Chamura. As you pointed out before, I mean, even the Ran draws a line and says, oh, you know, these cases are within, you know, the category of Arayos, but the case of Lo Yehu Binos Yisrael Prutzos Barayos, that is not. So again, even the Ran has to draw the line in terms of which Lavin are, you know, are closely associated enough to actually be within the category to be considered Abizrayu of the Avera Chamura. So again, for example, you could have said, let's say, in the case of Titbak Biyatcha Mu'um Me'an to say, granted, the case of Atzei Asherah is for sure a violation of that lav, but perhaps that lav is a distinct lav, not within the category of Vodazar, it's a separate category of not being Nana from a Vodazar. So again, as an additional assumption of the Ran, to say that lav regarding not getting Hana from a Vodazara is within the category of, you know, being Oveda Vodazara itself. So those are two assumptions. Number one, that the lavim exist in these cases, and assumption number two, that these lavim, once they exist, are within the category of the Avera Chamura itself. Yeah, sure?
How do we know that in order to be part of Abizrayu, it has to be part of an actual lav?
Let's see, let me again.
Saying,
it wasn't the.
Said it or just logically.
Let's see. I thought. Let's see if the Lashon is clear about this. One second, where is this? When the first violation, when first. I'll say I'm in the Ran of Pesachim.
Yeah.
Where it says, "The Bahani Avir Zochol Abizrayu Pirish Hanimshach Achareim." Mira. Earlier, I forgot to mention this important. When we're talking about the Lifnei Iver, again, he seems to be focusing that it's not a lav that's miyuchad l'avodah zarah. That's an Isra Klal. What?
It's not the big three.
No, I know. My point is that when he's discussing what is considered Abiz Rayu, he's focusing on whether it's a lav. He's just asking whether something has to be even a lav in order to even start discussing. Yeah, so that's all I'm saying is that in that discussion, again, he is dealing with a lav, so you could just counter like that. But also, I'll get back to that in a moment. It's important to note, meaning that a good highlight of this notion that within the Abiz Rayu that has to be within the category is, again, the whole question, but basically Ron goes out of his way, basically because the Gemara and Dalam of Beis, according to his understanding, basically has a case of Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara gives that as an example where the heter of Anas Atzmo applies. So the Ran, again, that would undermine his whole Shita if Lifnei Iver was considered Abiz Rayu of Avodah Zarah. So basically there he says, no, that's not within the category of Avodah Zarah, because basically, I heard a bunch of guys saying this in Seder, because he understands Lifnei Iver as an Isser Klali. So since it's an Isser Klali, it's not considered within the category of Avodah Zarah. So again, it's another good highlight of that when the Ran says Abiz Rayu, has to specifically be within, within the category. One highlight was, drawing the line between Prutz and Barayos and the cases above. This is another, explicit raya that he also draws in line. So again, my understanding was that he is limited to Lavin, but I hear, meaning that'd be... Yeah, exactly, 100%. That's a good point. Okay, so now getting to Avi's point, in terms of now trying to understand, this extension of the Ran. What is this idea of extending through Avi's Rayu the din of a Harin Layavor of the big three to the related lavin? It's not the Avera itself, so why in the world would you extend it to a lav just because it's related to the Avera Chamura? So if you're taking the Chil Hashem approach, this would it be as difficult to justify? Again, sometimes not clear. It's not so clear where to draw the line, but you could simply say that, there's a Chil Hashem even to, violating an Avera which is associated with one of the big three. Again, just like we had the extension of Chil Hashem, to the cases of perception of violation of the big three, so perhaps, again, if you're violating a lav which is connected to the one of the big three, somehow, that heightens, the issue of Chil Hashem to justify the Har Vayavar within that approach. So again, within the Chil Hashem approach, the Ran's Shita would not be so difficult to justify. Only problem is the Ran here is clearly aligning himself with the Ramban. Right? He's trying to justify the whole idea of that we don't apply the Heter Vanas Asno to the Veris Chamurus. And he explicates the reasoning, because the Mechaev of Yehari Layavar for the Veris Chamurus is not Chil Hashem, but it's rather the Chumrus HaIsser. So now that the Ran is clearly taking the Chumrus HaIsser approach, so now the question is very difficult. Because Chumrus HaIsser should seemingly be limited to the Averos themselves. Why would you extend the Mechayev of Chumrus HaIsser to related Lavin? It seems hard to say, that anything that's related to Avodah Zarah itself has the Chomer of the big three. That's a hard thing to justify. So exactly along the lines that Avi was saying, I actually heard this, there's a Kol Elyon HaBor this year that Menashe Masaryk gave, and he basically was developing this idea of, maybe developing earlier, but this notion that according to some Rishonim, again he was focusing specifically on the Chedush HaRan, which again, it's going to work out very nicely. Remember, the Chedush HaRan, an Ayin Hey, Amun Aleph, is one of the Shitos who basically point out, again, the Chedush HaRan B'Shem the Ramban, again, which works out well, where he says that perhaps the makor, the mechayev of all three of Averos Chamuros is Abbas Hashem. Right? That was the Chiddush HaRan Ayin Hey in the context of Bnei Noach. Right? That's where the Chiddush HaRan, B'Shem the Ramban, says that because the mechayev of Yehari Vayavar of all big three is Abbas Hashem, so therefore that's not going to extend to Bnei Noach who aren't subject to Abbas Hashem. So it's clear that there the Ran, B'Shem the Ramban, says that the Mechayev of all three of Averos Chamuros is Avas Hashem. And he pointed out that there are other Rishonim who also take this. We saw the Smak, the Maram Chal Ava. So Menashe at the time pointed out that might be, is it that Ran, B'Shem Ramban, might be Lishitaso. And it could be that once, exactly like Avi was saying, that once you think that even within the Chumrus HaIsser approach, that's not just Chumrus HaIsser as a Chumrus HaIsser, but rather Chumrus HaIsser, which thereby triggers Avas Hashem. So therefore, like we've been discussing, Avas Hashem is much more flexible than just the plain Chumrus HaIsser alone. Because Chumrus HaIsser alone, if it's just that, you know, the violation itself is Yerhan Vayavur, so then it should be limited to the technical violation of that Aver Chamura, and should never be extended in any way. But if you think that the Averos Chamuros, the Chumrus HaIsser is what triggers, you know, the violation is what triggers, you know, the rebellion against Avas Hashem, so then once the Koveya, once the Chayev is Avas Hashem for all three, so then just like we saw earlier examples within the context of Avodah Zarah, where because the Makor was Avas Hashem, we expanded it beyond the technical Avodah Zarah to Islam, etc., etc. So too, now once you say that the Mechayev of all three Averos Chamuros is really Avas Hashem, so maybe you can also justify the extension of all three Averos Chamuros to cases of Ab Yisrael, which are related, which therefore similarly have that association, and therefore have that also have that bittel of Avas Hashem. So exactly what Avi was suggesting could be gufa, what the basis of the Ran, to justify how in the world you can extend even the Chumrus HaIsser approach beyond the actual technical Averos Chumrus.
And you also say, like, listen to the system, Avas Hashem might lead to the actual thing.
The Ran doesn't say that. So again, you could insert this into the Ran, but again, in my mind, if he meant that, he would have said that. It sounds like, no, just the fact that they're Ab Yisrael, they're in the category, that itself is an Ab Yisrael.
It's hard to say, because I'm going to argue that it's not going to actually get the rights. You said it's for sure going to get the rights. You can make a Yarvayah.
That's arguable, because the question is, you're just raising the question, how is Tosas going to learn her Sugya? We don't know, because he doesn't come. It could be that he's going to say that two is a Gzera, is a Siyak. I don't know.
What? Argamar?
Yeah.
So I think the Rishani said it's a Siyak now.
Specifically in Argamar? I don't recall. It could be that they do. I just don't remember. But presumably, again, if Tosas is consistent, that's the way he would explain it. But again, there's a point, yeah, that's not so clear. Whenever you're dealing with Siyak,
you're going to say, Atavas Hashem.
Yeah, for sure. We don't have so much time left, but just to quickly, because so far we basically discussed all the people who hold of Ab Yisrael. Again, we try to develop three different versions of Ab Yisrael: Maris Ayin, Siyag, and we call a satellite-related Lavin. But then, but it's important to note that it's not so clear that everybody agrees with this notion of Ab Yisrael. So we want to try to develop this quickly. And for example, one example of a prominent Rishon who doesn't seem to hold of Ab Yisrael is the Rambam. And this is an idea developed by the Rav in Igros HaGrid that you guys hopefully saw this morning, where the Rav basically infers from a bunch of Rambams that he does not hold of this notion of Ab Yisrael. So number one is just the fact that the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Hei, never explicates the din. He never quotes the din of Ab Yisrael. He never quotes that din. So riot number one is that he never says it. Then the question is, the next stage is, okay, you might not say it specifically, but how does the Rambam, treat the cases in Ayin Hey and Psachim Chafei? How does he formulate those dinim? Again, if he formulates those dinim as classical dinim of Yisrael, so then, okay, he doesn't say the klal, but he basically paskins the klal. But the next thing that the Rav points out, if you look closely at the two Rambams, which quote those two Gemaras, the Rambam has very significant shinuyim and how he presents those cases, where the Rambam is seemingly trying to explain those Gemaras in ways which are not midin of Israel. So let's go through those quickly. So the first one is dealing with the Gemara and Psachim Chafei, right? The Psach of Kol Misrapin. So this is where the Rambam Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Hei, Halacha Vav, and the Rambam, when he basically formulates the case, does not quote the Gemara's case of Atzei Asherah, which is ambiguous, which could be interpreted like Rashi as Nira Kimodibo, or like Tosos as Siyag. Basically, the Rambam seems to be quote the case as one where it's limiting the Yahar Mayavar to a case where you're actually over Avodah Zarah. So basically, we'll read it in a moment. According to the Rav, basically the Rambam basically understands the Gemara in Chafei as being, when it says Kol Misrapin Chutz Me'atzei Avodah Zarah, the Chutz only is a case where somehow the Refuah entails actually violating Avodah Zarah. This is what Rambam in Perek Hei Halacha Vav says. misrapin b'chol isurim shebetorah. Again, you can be misrapin through violating any isur in the Torah, b'mokam sakana, if your life is in danger, chutz from the isurim of me'avodus kachavim gilarayas shvichas dam. Shafil b'mokam sakana in misrapin b'hem. So again, the way the Rambam, again, subtly presents the halacha is that the only isurim you're allowed to be violate b'mokam sakana is the shari isurim, but you can't violate the big three isurim. But so the Rav, very beautiful diuk, says it's not an extension. He's just saying, yeah, it's a classical din yar le'yavor. You can't be misrapid by violating one of the big three. But he doesn't have any extension that you find in the other rishon. Oh, so that's how he neutralizes psachim chafet. Oh, what does he do with ayin hey yam and aleph? Doesn't seem to be. There's no bia there. So where's the actual violation of arayas there? So the Rav is in another diuk. The way the Rambam formulates this halacha is in a very unique way. He formulates in a very unique way, which seems to imply that it's not midin yehareg b'yav. So where does that come from? As follows. Again, this is Yisoli HaTorah, Parakei Halacha Test. I'm sorry, I'm going a little faster because time is running out. The Rambam formulates halacha as follows. Misha nasan ina b'isha. Again, he became lovesick over a certain isha. V'chala, again, lovesick. V'nato lamos, and you're almost going to die over it. V'amara rofim elo refuah achit zibalo. The only, you know, cure is bia. Tzakiz yamis val tibalo. Afilo haisa pinuya. Right, even if she's pinuya, you can't do it. V'afilo ledaber ima meachori hageder. There's the key line. Ein morin lo bikach. Bezin can't pask in this way. The yamis, therefore he must die. V'lo yoru ledaber ima meachori hageder. Bezin can't pask in this heter.
Sounds like
they
can't. Like he's allowed to.
Exactly. So the Rav infers, the only problem is Bezgin paskening this heter. But, according to the Rambam, according to this read, if the person would be able to go ahead and be overly assert, the only problem is in Bezgin issuing a formal heter of the sort. So the question is, so that's the Rambam Ziyuk. Sorry, that's the Rav Ziyuk in the Rambam. That the fact that the Rambam, the fact that the Rambam specifically formulates the Zin in terms of Beis Din, again, he doesn't say that about any of the other Din of Yehar Le'Avor. Only other Din of Yehar Le'Avor is a Din. Yehar Le'Avor. What's this idea that all Beis Din can't? So it must be that it's not a classical Din of Yehar Le'Avor. Again, because this is not the big three. It must be a Din in Beis Din. Now I have to take a step back and try to understand, so what exactly is this Din in Beis Din? So again, there are two different approaches. So first approach is the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and that same piece in Zichron HaRav that we quoted, you know, back in the day. I'm assuming coming off his brother's piece and having a take on it. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik suggests, basically compares this, all right, to Parshas Pinchas, to the idea of Kanaan, basically in Morin Lo in the context of Kanaan Pogimbo. Right? So they all know the Din, right, of Kanaan Pogimbo in the case of Zimri and Cosby, being Boel and Aramis. So there's a din of Kanaan Pogimbo. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pebez Amon Aleph, has a famous line where he says, although Pinchas had a heter to kill Zimri, but if the case if in the Habal Li Malech, if Pinchas would have asked Bezin whether he should go ahead and kill Zimri, in Morin Lo, Bezin would not have told him to go ahead with it. So different explanations in terms of what's that idea? You're supposed to kill him, or is not supposed to kill him? Like, if you're supposed to kill, why is Eimor in law? So there are different explanations there. One explanation, this is where the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is coming off of, is the idea that it really should be done, but Beis Din can't put their stamp approval on it. Basically, in that context, Beis Din, you know, can't allow for vigilante justice. They can't allow for someone else to take, you know, the matter into their own hands. So there you have a notion, this model of Eimor in Cain, meaning it's fine to do, but Beis Din can't be involved. So too here, as Leir of Aaron is saying it, again, for a different reason, that, again, to save his life, it's probably better for him to be Mesaper Me'achorei Geder and to stand in front of Aruma. But Beis Din can't issue a formal psak allowing for that because it's too inappropriate. So again, that's the way Rav Aaron Soloveitchik explains this idea. I think we're going to have to stop here. I guess next time we'll just quickly finish this Abizrayo topic in terms of how the Rav's pshat and the Rav's pshat also in Shulchan Aruch and the Torah for omitting Abizrayo, and then we'll move on.